Welcome to Life Off Screen with Dan and Peggy Ruppel. Thank you for joining us. If you're enjoying this podcast, do us a favor and subscribe to the show and give us a rating. Life Off Screen is produced by Master Media International. And to find out more about Master Media or the Life Off Screen podcast, visit us at lifeoffscreen.com. And now, here's Dan and Peggy.
Welcome to part two of our New Year's Eve celebration.
That's right. We're having so much fun with our guests that this had to be a two-parter.
Yep. We were talking with Amick and Cassie Byram, Larry Myers and Nancy Stafford, and Phil and Kathleen Cook.
If you haven't had a chance to see part one, I recommend you go back and watch it. We had a lot of fun. We began with the question, if 2020 was a movie, what would the title be?
It was fun.
It was.
And also, we just jumped in to see, what's your takeaway from 2020? Great answers.
So let's get into part two of our celebration, and we kick it off with memorable stories of conversations with celebrities. We've all met with, we've worked with, we've chatted with a lot of different celebrities. What is your one favorite, most memorable celebrity encounter?
Our audience loves this question.
They love this question. I'll start with Amick and Cassie.
Okay, I'm going to jump in then, because you just mentioned being a comedian. And early on in my career, I did two tours for several weeks with Jay Leno. And Jay Leno at that time was not a household name. He had not done the Tonight Show yet. And so I had the opportunity to really get to know him. Now, everybody already knew, you could see what a talent he was and that he was definitely going places, but nobody had thought that he was going to be the host of the Tonight Show to take over for Johnny Carson. I mean, that was just huge. But anyway, he was the most memorable for me because he was so delightful. He was absolutely one of the nicest human beings, and so naturally talented and funny that I'm telling you, I mean, we actually had to do some of the tours were you know, bus tours. You know, we flew most places. We went to Japan twice. We went to the Philippines, but then we did all of the United States. And so we were on a bus, and I'm telling you, I've never laughed so hard for so long in my life. And we stay connected. And then when they did the relaunch of the Tonight Show with Jay Leno, there goes my phone. When we did the
That's Jay Leno.
Jay calling for us. Anyway, when they did the relaunch, they ended up doing it here in our living room. And Amick and I were featured for the opening segment. So
that was did it right here where we're sitting, right here. The foyer, the entryway of our living room. Oh. And he set up his desk right over there.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, with the guest star and everything. And we're sitting there with them.
Phenomenal.
That was kind of amazing.
That's great.
I didn't know that. I'll have to look that up.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, you can look it up on YouTube.
When I first came to LA, I was at a party with Kirk Douglas's son. And Kirk Douglas was there. And he spots me across the room. And he comes over. And it was this big smile on his face. He came over and he reached in and touched my dimple in my chin.
Really?
Said, may not be very nice, but he said, hey, where was your mother about 25 years ago?
Oh.
And I said, with my father.
Yeah, yes. good answer. Yeah,
but I made it very clear that it wasn't. Yeah. But anyway, we have a connection with
a number of years ago, Nancy was invited to participate in a celebrity golf tournament and show, kind of a fundraiser thing down in Coral Gables, Florida. So being a dutiful husband and the baggage carrier, I went along with her. And she got me onto into the golf part of it. And I had only played a couple of rounds of golf. I was not a real golfer, but she got me shoehorned onto a team, one of the groups. And the celebrity on that particular group was Dr. J, Julius Erving, one of the most famous basketball players of all time. And so it was a game of Texas Scramble, which I won't take the time to explain, but that meant that I was able to hit what the requisite shots that I was required to hit. And I actually was able to do that. But I ended up getting golf lessons from hole to hole from Dr. J, which was really a treat. He was a wonderful, kind, generous, funny person. It was a very memorable experience. At the end of it, we discovered that we won watches. So I won this watch in that golf tournament, which
really won the tournament.
Ticks off my golf playing buddy.
Yeah.
He won? Man.
That skills. Yeah. Phil, what were you going to
Well, mention? I was just going to say all these stories illustrate something that Kathleen and I learned very early in our career, and that is real stars are a joy to work with. It's the people who think they're stars that are the
Absolutely.
Problem.
It's
been true in every single encounter we've ever had. We worked with Leonard Nimoy. We hired Leonard Nimoy, you know, the legendary Mr. Mm-hmm. Spock, to do the narration for a big documentary we did a number of years ago. And the guy was the most laid back, fun guy. Yeah. When lunch was delivered to the studio, he went out and met the messenger, got the sandwich box, brought it in, started handing things out to everybody. Just a normal, regular guy. Martin Sheen was the same way. And you meet people that are just amazing. And then you meet people that are pretty convinced they're stars. And man, then you get into trouble. But the real thing, they're a joy to work with. No question.
I worked years ago with Richard Kiley on a set. And he was renowned for his voice. And he was a classic Shakespearean actor. And so in between takes, we would sit off to the side. And I remember asking him about how to develop my voice better. And he taught me how to take, you know, your neck right here and kind of blow through it and do some things like that so that you can enhance your voice. But just always very, very kind. And just echo everything Phil said, the actors and the stars that we've worked around for many years, the ones who are the biggest sometimes are the kindest.
Absolutely. Yeah. I found that with Tom Hanks. I mean, he's one of the biggest actors there is. And I was able to work with him for 3 days when he was shooting that thing you do, because that closing scene when they're on the bands on the TV show was on the Price is Right set. So I was able to he said, hey, sit next to me and just watch what I'm doing for 3 days. And he couldn't have been kinder. But my most memorable story is, if any of you have heard me speak, which some of you have ad nauseum, I always mentioned that my life's aspirations were launched when I was 5 years old and I saw the Dick Van Dyke Show, that I wanted to work in comedy, I wanted to work on TV, and I wanted to marry a perky brunette, Laura Petrie. And so when I was at CBS, I was supervising an episode of Diagnosis Murder that was being shot on the Young and the Restless set. And I walked down there to the studio, and Dick Van Dyke was just sitting on a director's chair. They were doing camera blocking and adjusting lights. And so I went over to him and I said, Mr. Van Dyke, big fan of the Dick Van Dyke Show. And up in my office, I have a book on the Dick Van Dyke Show. If I run up there, would you, sign it for me? And he goes, sure. So I run up there. So, because my office was on the third floor at CBS, I ran up there so fast because I didn't want him to go away or be called to set or whatever. Mm-hmm. I run down with it and hand it to him. He says, I'll sign it on one condition. You sit next to me and let me tell you the stories that are in this book.
Wow.
So for the next 35 minutes, he went page by page and he told me anecdotes about every picture in that book.
Wow.
And then he signed it. I still have it in my office. I mean, he couldn't have been nicer.
Oh my gosh,
just to tag on to that whole issue of the great ones are the humble ones. I spent 4 weeks with Julie Andrews. I was hired to cast and also associate direct an original musical that she wrote with her daughter. It was just such a delight. And, every afternoon we'd stop rehearsal and she'd have to have her tea. When these actors would come in, they would just almost just fall into a puddle because she was sitting at the table with me, the choreographer and the producer. And she was there for the very first auditions, and which is kind of unheard of. And everybody who comes from everybody loves Julie Andrews, and she was the most humble, I mean, just wonderful person that you can possibly imagine. Yeah. Her reputation is exactly what you have heard about her.
Yeah. Yes.
That's and so we funny. Would have to echo that same thing at the People Choice Award. Yeah. Dan was supervising producer on it with CBS when he was there. And what you don't realize is after People Choice War is over, you get to go, you know, the stars and stuff go and have a private dinner. And we were included on that.
It's a big buffet.
Big buffet, and y'all sit at different tables. And so Dan and I were in line, and then he's separate in front of me. I guess I was lingering. And who cuts in the middle but Anthony Hopkins? And this is the year of
Silence
of the Lambs. So he hadn't won yet, but as we get our food and we're chatting and we go and we sit at the table with them, it was interesting to eat next to him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hannibal Lecter.
Fava beans, you know.
Hannibal Lecter. But he could not.
Little Chianti.
Yeah. Chianti.
We didn't have Chianti.
But he was, we thanked him. We said he was the Oscar favorite contender.
He goes, really? You think so? You think I'll get it?
You think so?
I go, you're shoo-in.
So humble.
One of the greatest performances ever.
What bothers me though is I feel like you people, you six, feel called to keep me humble, and I don't really, I'm getting tired of that.
That's our job. That's our job.
It takes six of us to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's exhausting.
It's quite a burden. It's quite a burden.
Trying to help Kathleen a little bit.
That's our spiritual gift.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's our spiritual
tolerance. I have the gift of tolerance. Well, to wrap up, let's go around and kind of talk about what our hopes and prayers are for 2021, either personally or just in our culture ahead. Mm-hmm. Amick and Cassie, why don't I start with you guys?
Through my company, Mamala Media, called Treasure Tunes. This will be Treasure Tunes Volume 2. Mm-hmm. I already have Volume 1 out available at mamalamedia.com right now, but that will be happening this year. And so I'm looking forward to getting these out there. It's family entertainment, these animated videos, and I'm hoping that a lot of parents and their kids are going to be touched by this, because I really do feel like this is an assignment from the Lord for mm-hmm. me, in the way this all came about for me. And these are scripture songs that mm-hmm. I've storyboarded and turned into animated videos. And so I'm excited about that for this year.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Good.
And having more time with my grandson.
Yes.
I'm hoping for restoration. I'm hoping for restoration for all that has been lost in 2020. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be so bold. I've been praying that the restoration would be double what has been lost in 2020. And I was kind of inspired by that when I saw a friend who had identical twins just recently. And I thought, oh my goodness, maybe that was just the inspiration for the idea. And I thought, you know, why not? So I'm being very bold and praying for double restoration for the loss.
I think my hopes and prayers are that all of the shaking that we've gone through in this past year in so many ways, politically, certainly the pandemic, economically, relationally, in every mm-hmm. way, that what will be left will be that which cannot be shaken, that people will really get back to the things that we've clung to that we thought were going to save us, whether it's government or jobs or whatever, that the reality will be that when all is settled, that we realize that God is the only source of all that we need. And that he, as Larry said earlier, he's not surprised by the circumstances, but he can use these circumstances that he's allowed to happen to pare away all the things that we've relied on or mm-hmm. been an idol to us mm-hmm. rather than looking to him for all of our needs to be met. So,
yeah.
And that his light will really shine and that his purposes will be completely fulfilled in this whole year.
Amen.
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 As being primarily a worship musician, the last several years I've play with and work with about 20 worship directors, worship leaders in churches around the area. The worship directors and leaders, by and large, have had more work put on them throughout this time than they've ever had to do before. They've had to, they've had to learn all about live streaming and all of the technology with involved in all of that. So it's been really difficult to be in touch with them and so on and so forth. So I'm hoping to reconnect, hoping to be able to provide some degree of encouragement to them and to move on into the next season, whatever that looks like. So that's pretty much it.
That's great. That's great. Film Kathleen.
So I just finished a 2-week devotional that anyone can get for free on the YouVersion app. It'll come out in January, called Hope for Today. So your question is very pertinent. I believe that we do have hope every single day, and all we need to do is open our Bible and that God is going to meet us there. And I'd say for me too, recently I've been reading a book on Paul, the Apostle Paul. And one of the things that has stood out for me in reading that book was that there was this change that was happening. You know, when Jesus came into the world changed. And it seems for many of us with COVID, with the injustice going on, the racial riots, all of the things that we've been going through this year, change is what's been happening. And Paul was there. He was in the midst of this change. And I think the thing that stands out is that God really saw who he was, saw the knowledge he had and the wisdom he had, but he also saw that he was a zealot. He had enthusiasm. And I think God is calling us to go. He's calling us to be enthusiastic, not to get stuck in the mud and the mire of what's been happening around us and what the culture and the media and everything voices at us all the time, but to step into his hope and into that, and to be, you know, to be excited for what's happening. God is making changes, and we need to be there and a part of it, and not pulling back, but moving forward.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, I've been, I'm a media guy. So kind of to echo what Larry's saying, I've been really gratified to see the number of pastors and ministry leaders that have really embraced the online world during this shut church lockdown around the country. And it's so funny, before the lockdown, I had pastors come up to me and say, you know, I don't mind streaming my service, but that's not real ministry. Well, when that lockdown happened, it completely changed their attitude. So I'm really seeing churches understand that there are a multitude of ways that we've never tried before to engage with the culture out there. And so I'm looking forward to 2021 being a time when we unleash a lot of those things. I think the digital media world is just really untapped. We've only seen the tip of the iceberg. And I'm excited. I tell pastors, this is not, even if we're moving back into the church physically, this isn't the time to let up the gas on your online services and the way you're engaging digitally with people. And I just, I'm curious to see what happens in the next 10 years.
And the good news here, Phil, is that everybody I talk to really wants to do it really well. They want to be light.
Yeah.
And there's some stories out there that are amazing of how churches have done remarkable things online. And in fact, I had one pastor, we're doing so well online. He said, I'm a pastor. I feel guilty saying this, but I really have no desire to go back to the church. We're making a bigger impact in our city than we've ever made before.
Their messages are being shared all over the world.
Yes.
It's not an either or, it's a both and. Let's do it together.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're listening to more services than we ever had. We're two or three sometimes on a Sunday.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, same here. We're seeing multiple pastors and multiple churches.
Yeah, it's been delightful. Really.
Yeah. Well, you know, anytime that humankind or the world is challenged, God brings great purpose. Mm-hmm. And there's so many purpose, and all of you have echoed those sorts of things. For me, my hope and prayer is that we will remember the lessons we learned this past year, that we will value one another, that we will respect one another, we'll be kind to one another, that we will see each other as image bearers of God.
Yes.
And one of you mentioned earlier how fragile we are, that we would remember how fragile we are and how dependent we are on God for his mercy and his love and his justice and his kindness and his love towards us. Mm-hmm. And, if God answers all the prayers that we're talking about, and all these hopes. What a wonderful world it would be, because it would truly reflect his kingdom, which is the way this world was created to be, you know, but we messed it up.
But we had this such dichotomy during COVID, because while everyone's, you know, bereft of relationships, we dove into this project, which helped us reconnect with so many. But, and even outside of that, we began praying and asking God to put people on our hearts. And we've connected with people we hadn't seen for over 30 years. They weren't on the show, but they were just friends, as God would bring to remembrance names. And that was really profound, to be still, be quiet, and to listen. In a way, with all that's going on in the world, I'm feeling like this lighter touch. And in fact, what you're saying as well, Nancy, you know, there's the temporal and there's the eternal. And that shaking really delineates that for us. And so while we're pressing in with friendships in a time when a lot of people are so alone, at the same time, the whispers of the Holy Spirit is that the investment is good in the internal, that there's been a deeper longing for the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Yeah. And what does that look like? Because our foundation has been shaken. Yeah. So I'm excited to see how we walk that, our life out differently post COVID.
That's right. Well, we love you guys so much. Thank you so much for being with us. We value and cherish our friendships. We really do. And this year has demonstrated that more than ever before, how much we really value each one of you as dear friends. And we also have great admiration for you guys, because you're so intentional in using the talents and gifts that God has given you for his kingdom. And you're not sitting on the sidelines, but hopefully we're all in this together, that we're leaving it all in the field.
Yes.
You know, it's like when the Lord calls us home, I want to know I gave it my all. So, and I know you guys all share that. So bless you. We pray that it's just a great year ahead, and we can't wait to see you physically and give you big hugs and hang out together again.
Yes. Look forward to that too.
We'll do a dinner.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay.
Bye,
everyone.
Love you guys.
We loved
See
it.
You.
Bye.
Thank
love you.
You
guys.
Take care.
And done.
Thank you for joining us for Life Off Screen with Dan and Peggy Ruppel. Life Off Screen is produced by Master Media International. Our technical director is Jason Rugg. Please subscribe to the Life Off Screen YouTube channel or subscribe to the Life Off Screen podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We'd love to hear from you. You can leave your comments in the comment section. And to find out more about Master Media, go to mastermedia.com. Thanks again for joining us. Hope to see you next time.